It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 20th day of December 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. That's where you go if you want to be part of the, and I recommend you do, merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. And, well, if you do pop by the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That's Anatole and Squeaky. And, well, Ralphs was there for a minute, and so was Theo. I don't know if they'll be back or what. Anatole and Squeaky are there, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Roger in Oregon. Yeah, there's Ralphs. Hey, Ralphs. And, of course, if you're listening in delay, if you're listening to the podcast, I cannot tell you how much we do appreciate, I do, the community does, when you not only subscribe to the podcast, but when you like each episode, and when you leave a comment that lets others know that people are doing more than just downloading, but interacting with the program. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, and so consequently, we say thank you to our 20th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you to our dear friend Reverbo, and thank you Vincent, and thank you Armand. Thanks as well to Ralphs and to Dr. John in New Mexico. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks that keeps this little experiment in independent, non-corporate, non-capitalist, non-profit-motivated attempt at liberal progressive media running. Thank you. And so, let's see. Where are we for the fundraising goal today? Well, we are at $1,720. So that means that we've got 5 days completely unfunded. That's today, Tuesday, Monday, Friday, and Thursday. And then $220 unfunded of a week ago, last one Wednesday. Hopefully we will take some of that down because I have, I'm sitting here looking at a stack of bills and they're staring back malevolently at me. And if you'd like to help out, the PayPal button is over at headon.live. And the Patreon button is under the contribute tab, as is the mailing address. Thank you to Kat in Ohio. Kat dropped me a note earlier today saying the turkey and the ham that she sent along have arrived. So I'm going to get up bright and surly in the morning and go over and pick those up at the Horn mailbox and a couple of other parcels, thank you, that are waiting there. And then come back and, well, we'll have Thorn in the Side Thursday as we move toward Christmas. Not as cold here today as it was, but it was brutally cold overnight. I was talking about the flannel boards yesterday. I feel like I'm sleeping in a uniform. Let's see. Last night it was dance tights, fleece nightgown, fleece pajama bottoms, and a zip-up insulated hoodie. Hoo-wee. And, you know, by the time morning came, I was nice and toasty. Took a while to get there. And, you know, I've said before, I have apologized to Annette for all of those years when I said that she must be a reptile because she's sluggish when it's cold and active when it's warm. Guess what? It's not reptilian behavior. Not by a long shot, because I know what that feels like now. Reminder, Tara Devlin and I, Tara of Tara Buster, will be filling in this evening for Malloy on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. We'll also be there tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. And I cannot wait. And I don't let myself listen to it beforehand. But we get to play, since it's the last episode before Christmas itself, or Christmas Eve, we get to play Oh Holy Nightmare. And I seldom, if ever, play it here because that's strictly a Malloy thing. And God, you can't help but laugh. There's a story behind Oh Holy Nightmare. It was actually an effort by a Christian vocalist to create the worst ever recording of a Christmas carol in the history of, well, Christmas. And it languished in a recording engineer's desk or something for years until it was dragged out, and then the rest is history. So anyway, after this program is off, you'll hear me and, as well, the lovely, talented, brilliant Tara Devlin. And we'll see where the next couple of days take us. All right, we need to. I guess we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, taking a look at the Colorado ballot business, for lack of a better term. I had a note to get us started from Roger in Oregon. The Supreme Court has backed themselves into a hole. If the court rules, Roger says, that Trump is immune from prosecution because the actions around J6 were part of his duties, what is to stop Joe from going rinse and repeat in January of 2025? Now, to carry this a bit further, what would happen if Joe Biden resigned in 2027, giving Kamala less than 2 years of his term, thus making her eligible for two more full terms? Then she appoints Gavin Newsom as her vice president, and they do it all over again. This gets compounded if they force Colorado to put him on the ballot, as he's not been convicted. Clearly, this sets the stage for the above-mentioned situation. Just make sure that you don't violate state laws, and we will have created a non-hereditary monarchy. Be careful what you wish for. The unintended consequences just might bite you in the ass. We also know that SCOTUS judgments that are made in this case only, and not to be used as precedent, do get used down the road. I remember those famous last words of Bush v. Gore, right? And the irony of this issue developing, where just such an opinion might be rendered, even as the nation is in the process of dirt napping Sandra Day O'Connor, trying to reach her ancient and wizened hand from inside the casket. No, no. Or probably, yeah, go ahead. I did it with Bush. I put party and politics ahead of my constitutional oath. Y'all can too. It's hard to say. There is, however, and frankly, we're going to forego the prayer meeting Wednesday stuff simply because there's too much secular business going on. But there's this business with the Supreme Court is a good example of how ultimately meaningless, excuse me, hiccups. How ultimately meaningless media speculation truly is. I don't think you necessarily go wrong expecting the worst of our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties, but you know, once in a while, like a blind hog finding an acorn, they get one right, but it's usually in an instance where there can't really be any harm come from it. Or nothing substantial can happen as a result of it. And I've got some examples here. Because I've been monitoring the multimillionaire for-profit media all day. Let's see. Let's start with George Conway. Wife of Kellyanne Conjob, she of the Alternative Facts. George Conway said today on My Filthy Morning Habit that he's completely sold on the Colorado ruling. George Conway's a lawyer, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep. So, George Conway, let me ask you. 14th Amendment talks about someone who's committed insurrection against the United States, the Constitution. Who is the finder of fact of that? People on cable news? Judges in Colorado, or does it need to be a jury in Washington, D.C., that is hearing a case on whether Donald Trump committed insurrection again?
I understand this is a loaded question, because while he likes to play that shtick about just being an old country lawyer who just fell off the turnip truck, Scarborough is a lawyer.
It's the United States Constitution.
Well, as a good longtime member of the Federal Society, you have to look at the text of the constitutional provision. And the constitutional provision says nothing about convictions. They could have easily, when they wrote that provision, said someone convicted of insurrection cannot hold public office. Mm-hmm. It does not say that. And so what that means is the courts are free to determine on their own, you know, based upon, you know, valid judicial processes, what is an insurrection and whether the facts meet that. And what happened here was there was a five-day trial where Donald Trump and his lawyers got to participate, and the judge made extensive findings. A judge that actually kind of ruled for him on a bogus ground found that he engaged in insurrection, found this by not just a preponderance of the evidence, which is your lower basic civil court standard, but by clear and convincing evidence, which means that it's way more than, you know, more likely than not. It's very, very, very strong evidence, and you don't see the dissents challenging those findings at all.
Now, hold on. Did I actually say George Conway, wife of Kellyanne Conway? If I did, well, that was a Freudian slip. That was my Freudian slip showing. Sorry. Thank you, Ralphs.
And in fact, there's no basis to challenge the findings. When you go to the majority opinion and you read the 30 or 40 pages, or I don't know how many there are, on what happened on January 6th and what Donald Trump did before and during January 6th, there's no dispute. I mean, we saw it on television, and we know what happened. He fomented, he engaged in an insurrection. He wanted this to happen. And not only that, I mean, there's another provision in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment that talks about giving aid and comfort to enemies of the Constitution. Well, he did that He was an enemy of the Constitution. So it's really, if this case, if this decision gets overturned, it's not going to be on the basis of the factual findings. And I'll say this about a jury trial. There's no basis for demanding a jury trial here. Any first-year law student will tell you that, because this is not the kind of case. It's not the kind of, like, a civil case for damages where you do get a Seventh Amendment right to a jury trial. This is a, you know, this is election litigation. Election litigation is always is more equitable, and it's always it's more of a, something that a court of equity does. And there's never jury trials in election cases because they have to be resolved quickly. And such as Bush v. Gore, that's exactly the same thing. There were no juries there.
Makes sense, right? And the one part that, and I saw this earlier this morning, and I had to go and check the text of the 14th Amendment, Section 3. And yeah, that's an interesting inclusion there. The way the wording works is, or as an officer of the United States, or as a member of any state legislature, or as an executive or judicial officer of any state, to support... Okay, no, let me back up. Who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress, or as an officer of the United States, or as a member of any state legislature, or as an executive or judicial officer of any state, to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same... And the same is a back reference to the Constitution of the United States. English parsing. Or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. That might be where this hat winds up hanging. He encouraged, Nitwit Nero did. He gave aid and comfort to the enemies of the Constitution who sought to overturn a constitutionally mandated election? And there's not much argument there. I agree with George Conway, former husband of Kellyanne. Maybe I got it right this time. And building upon what Roger said, Steve in New York said, Trump off the ballot. I can't help but be afraid that if the court does rule him disqualified, that this won't have a dog catching the car feel. The bottom line is that we will have to defeat Trumpism at the ballot box no matter who is its standard bearer. And there are lots of standard bearers. Nimrod Haley is a standard bearer. Monkey Up Duclantis is a standard bearer. God knows we wake Ramaswamy, who says that, by God, he won't be on the ballot in Colorado either if Trump can't be. Well, we wake, don't threaten us with a good time. With the exception of Chris Christie, they're all standard bearers. Here's the thing. Even Chris Christie, you wouldn't trust with the carcass of a runover skunk, let alone running the government. Ask anybody in New Jersey. Ask any teacher in New Jersey. Ask anybody who was caught in the, what was it, the Bridgegate scandal. Ask the family of the man who died because the ambulance couldn't get through. I did mention, I mentioned Kellyanne Conjob. Oh, good Lord. Kellyanne has idea, well, she has ideas of who Democrats are. And apparently we get to live in her brain.
Trump on those grounds, or that he's been convicted. So it is in doubt. And when you look at what I just think the Democrats wake up every morning, Emily, and they look at the calendar. The iPhone says January 6, 2021. The date never changes. And then they get in the electric vehicle and go get an abortion. I just described the Democratic Party to you in 7 seconds. That's it. That's what I see. But
and that's what passes for analysis over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. How fun. Jesus criminy. By the way, wave with a note by the ocean. Today's new word, magacyte. MAGA-CYTE. Individual cells in a large orange tumor. I wishing welcomed an immigrant to America last night, the way you're supposed to, the way that most of the stories of people I've interacted with who came here with, not the rest of America, here, South Florida. We were somewhere in Florida, next to the sea. Tall, swarthy gentlemen such as myself, being that you are a knower of words, know that I'm a hearer of words, the way he says. I hear and luxuriate in words in my head like a wine taster sipping wine. His Spanish was off. It wasn't Miami Spanglish. It was too fast, too emotive, and too raw. His Spanish was Cuban, like strolling in Havana, Cuban. I remember our dear friend Ed Rabel, who has spent considerable time in Cuba, saying that Cubans speak Spanish like they've got a mouthful of rocks. He had learned the hack, Wave says. Get here, get wardrobed, get a phone. Look like everybody else. Get on a bus, get a job, get a visa. In Beachside, Magaville. Full of real Republicans. They don't give a shit about immigration. Or don't say gay. In trillion-dollar Monroe County, Florida, the money don't give a fuck. If Dark Brandon wants a shot, get that diesel price under $3 and decriminalize. In lovely 13-mile-long Marathon Key, a reddest, brokiest, trumpiest key, and believe it or not, the orange ether is wearing off. In Marathon, there are extensive social services. And police are chatty, friendly, and the local commander is black. Senor refugee made it and was on the phone with family or lover. He slipped off the bus somewhere after mile marker 54. I was going to 47.5. So in Keys fashion, IDAF. IDGAF. Wave by the ocean. Diesel, $3.75 a gallon, regular $3.15. And, yeah, 69 degrees on Marathon Key. Oh, God, maybe someday. Maybe someday. Thanks, Wave. What? Kellyanne? This is Ralphs. I know. It was just word salad. I just threw that in there for the hell of it, Ralphs. And by the way, we have a challenge on the table for this prayer meeting Wednesday that is not prayerful. Our anonymous friend says, I'd like to put on the table a crisp, cold air, 2-for-1 tripling challenge. If the Horn community can roust up to $70, I'll kick in up to $140. So that would be fantastic, and that would get us almost fully funded by just less, only $10 away from fully funded for last Wednesday. Thank you, kind anonymous internet friend. The crisp, cold air, 2-for-1 tripling challenge is on the table. And it's just $70. Seven folks at $10. 10 people at $7. One at $70. Two at $35. Four at $17.50. Oh, God. Eight at $8.62. It's too early for my head be hurting like that. But thank you. Thank you. Hopefully that'll happen and we'll be funded for last Wednesday and be working on a couple of badly in need of paying bills. But I said that there was a split of opinion in the media. and there is. Mary Trump, niece of Tangerine Tiberius, who really doesn't like her uncle, seeing as how he kind of drove her daddy to his death. She did an interview and published it on Substack, an interview with Joe Galina. Joe Galina is a lawyer with a call to activism. And in the interview, she asked Joe Galina about the Colorado ruling yesterday. He said it was a wonderful day for the rule of law, for democracy and the Constitution. We really do have a lot to celebrate. Obviously, tomorrow's another day you could end up before the Supreme Court. But today, I feel as someone who has been shouting from the rooftops about how terrible Donald Trump has been since the moment he announced, I feel a little vindicated that the Supreme Court of Colorado says that he was an insurrectionist and incited an insurrection. I feel very vindicated for that reason, and said that the decision itself was amazing, adding, and I want to read one sentence. The court says, and I quote, we conclude that the foregoing evidence established that President Trump engaged in insurrection. I'm going to read that one more time, he said. We conclude that the foregoing evidence established that President Trump engaged in insurrection. So I'm going to talk to Donald directly. I'm going to say, Donald, your gig is up. You're an insurrectionist. According to the Colorado Supreme Court, you engaged in insurrection. The question is answered. Everyone who's reading this should know that you are an insurrectionist. You deserve to lose in 2024, and I hope you are wiped off the ballot in every state of the union because you deserve it. And then said it's a tough corner for maggots to be in. I think this decision tonight was a landmark decision. It was a historic decision. It's a huge, huge victory for the Constitution and a plain reading of the Constitution, which I'm sure we'll talk about. The constitutionalists now, who tend to be conservative, have a nightmare tonight because this ruling is actually correct when you read it. It makes sense. And so now they're going to be in the hot seat to approve it. However, I will say that this decision was the best that could have come, and it was also the most obvious one, and so we'll see how it plays out. Everyone else was not quite so sanguine about it all. And thank you to Ralphs for jumping in on the challenge. And thank you to Kat for just meeting the challenge. So now we've gone down from 1720 to 1485. And that's fantastic, Kat. Thank you so, so, so much. We're now fully funded for last Wednesday. And we can start on Thursday before tomorrow arrives. Thank you so much, Kat. And thank you, Ralphs. But like I said, everyone else wasn't so sanguine about the ruling. Enter Ellie Honig, a legal analyst for CNN, who said that no way is this thing going to stand.
Decision. The district court already said a finding of fact that the former president engaged in an insurrection.
Right.
But this court is taking it one step further and reading Section 3 of the 14th Amendment a way that no court has so far.
Yeah, and here's where I think the problem comes in with the ruling we got from the Colorado Supreme Court yesterday. Even if we take it as a given that Donald Trump engaged in an insurrection, and I'm willing to sign on to that given all the facts, I think quite clearly, we still don't know, even as we sit here now, we don't know how this works. We don't know who gets to decide whether a person engaged in insurrection. We didn't know 100 years ago. We didn't know yesterday. We don't know now. The problem is The Constitution tells us how we're supposed to know. The 14th Amendment says, Section 5, Congress is supposed to pass laws telling us how this works. Congress has not done that. And so what Colorado did is they sort of made up this procedure. They had this quasi-hearing over 5 days. And now the Supreme Court of Colorado, by a 4-3 margin, is saying, good enough. He's out. That is a violation of due process, and that is why I think that this ruling from the Colorado Supreme Court is going to be struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Avalon, I want you to respond, but we'll get to three of the justices.
Oh, that's encouraging. That right there, what I just said, is sarcasm. Because while we spend a lot of time talking about Section 3, he is technically correct, Eli Honig. Section 5 simply reads, the Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. And that means Section 1, which is birthright citizenship, and the Due Process Clause, and equal protection. Section 2 is the apportionment of representatives. Section 3 is the insurrection clause. Section 4 is the validity of the public debt. They were trying to accomplish a lot in the 14th Amendment while they had a chance to get it done. And they wanted to set it up in such a way that there wouldn't be any questions left, and that insurrection would be far more difficult if they tried it again, and they were not entirely convinced that they wouldn't try it again. Ralph says, in my opinion, this person's thinking is wrong. I don't disagree with you, but the problem is not what we think. The problem is what our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties believe. Because they're believers. So, yeah, Section 5 says that the Congress has the power to make legislation to enforce the... And there is an aspect, because I looked at Section 5 earlier and I went, oh, what does that mean? And the first thing I thought of was the presidential succession. Now, this is the 14th Amendment. How much airtime did we devote in conversation to trying to sort out the 25th Amendment? The short answer is a lot. In particular, we spent most of our time on Section 4, trying to figure out how the cabinet would go about removing Nitwit Nero if the cabinet had any integrity. We know, of course, in the end that they did not. All they did was run like hell after he incited the insurrection. Most importantly, though, the 25th Amendment comes along because the Congress finally realized, after numerous succession crises, that the plain language of the Constitution was insufficient. And so Section 1 merely says, of the 25th Amendment, in case of the removal of the president from office or his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president. Not acting president, president, the president. And as simple as that may sound, it was not at all established in law. In fact, it took the assassination of John F. Kennedy to get the Congress to finally act. And I talked a long time ago about, Thomas Riley Marshall, the Vice President of the United States under Woodrow Wilson, a lawyer from Taliban, Indiana, whom the Congress begged to please take the role of president during the disability of Woodrow Wilson. Because his wife, Edith Wilson, see, Ralph, you got me questioning spouses here. His wife, Edith Wilson, clung to Woodrow Wilson's presidential power like a woman possessed. And Thomas Riley Marshall looked squarely at the Congress and said, groovy, happy to do it. He was a bit of a smartass, Thomas Riley Marshall was. This is, after all, the man who answered a journalist's question asking him, what does America really need? And being a smartass, he, and an old country lawyer, he quipped, what this country needs is a good 5-cent cigar. Learned a lot about Thomas Riley Marshall because he was a member of my fraternity. Just like Ann's boy, Neil Gorsuch. And by the way, the Colorado Supreme Court handed Neil Gorsuch some of his own language in an attempt to bolster their position. Pettifoggers and our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties are past masters of pettifogging. I mean, you know, old balls and strikes and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas and Sammy Bad Breath and Ann's boy Neil and beer boofing Brat and the handmaid. They are pettifoggers of the first order, as they have shown time and again with their, among other things, originalism decisions. Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health is nothing but pettifogging. But again, it took the assassination of John F. Kennedy to get the Congress to finally move on the 25th Amendment. The Congress has still not made a law about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. You might recall that in the wake of Nitwit Nero's repeated meltdowns, then Speaker Nancy Pelosi introduced legislation about presidential mental health and fitness. It, of course, died a terrible and lonely death. What, Edith Wilson? Huh? Oh, very good, Emilio. Well played. With Archie Bunker playing the role of Thomas Riley Marshall. Actually, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, Ralph, says that Congress has the power by, is it a two-thirds majority? Yeah, two-thirds majority of each House remove an insurrectionist disability. And Stephen New York says, an insurrection? Man, oh man, is my queasy gizzard twinging. All this energy and resources expended on this. Yes, I think it is probably proper that he should never be on any ballot. However, I think it may be better to expend these mental and financial resources to winning in 2024. Well, all we can do, Steve, is hope that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We know the maggots can't. We are at a place where this must be decided now. For good or ill, this must be decided. The Supreme Court could punt and say anything. We don't got no jurisdiction. Colorado's case stands. They could just reject Nitwit Nero's petition for cert. Colorado's decision stands. Or they could, and I suspect will, take the case and ruminate and pontificate on it all the way through the primary season. Because remember, if the Supreme Court takes it up, the stay on the order of the Colorado Supreme Court remains in place, and it does not take effect. That means he's on the Colorado ballot, the Minnesota ballot, the Michigan ballot, the California ballot. and the Supremes can consider the case and maybe even say, yep, well, Colorado was right, then he may not, then maybe he's not on the general election ballot. Remember, it was Minnesota who said, no, we're going to let him stay on the primary ballot. This doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be on the general election ballot because, you know, there are crimes to be prosecuted that are out there. This is head-achingly complicated. And Darlene, with some analysis, I feel like we've been played. We may have been, Darlene, by this Colorado Supreme Court. I'm still thinking this all through, but here it goes. We know SCOTUS is totally politicized and loves to split the baby. The Colorado Supreme Court has essentially given old Balls and Strikes Roberts his bargaining chip with the other theocratic SCOTUS colleagues. Wink, wink, nod, nod. They're going to either rule Trump shit doesn't have absolute presidential immunity, but overrule the Colorado Supreme Court so Trump shit can stay on the ballot, splitting the baby, or give Trump shit absolute immunity so all the cases go away but sink his boat on running again by upholding the Colorado Supreme Court. Splitting the baby. This way, it opens the door for Nikki Haley to take the nomination, and she's polling better against Biden. Then the old ruling Repigs have a better shot at winning the presidency than if it's Trump shit versus Biden. Obviously, I fear either outcome for different reasons. This smacks of a Bush v. Gore-style election takeover by the SCOTUS once again. Once again, we see that the SCOTUS has far more power than the other branches. There's no longer any balance of power within our government system. SCOTUS seems to be in the driver's seat again, and they are loving it. Yeah, I saw a former federal judge today. I forget what media outlet was on. It was from All In with Chris Hayes. He was talking to Elie Mystal, but the former judge that was on there with them said something very simple, and it matters here. She said, Clarence Thomas will recuse himself from these cases when Ginny flies. And I tend not to disagree, because Fappy should recuse himself from the immunity argument, and he should recuse himself from any consideration if the Supreme Court does. He shouldn't even vote on the petition for cert. But that assumes that would assume that Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas is not the single most crooked man ever to hold a seat on the Supreme Court of the United States. And again, of course, none of this is, we really haven't touched on the true whack-a-moles, the hardcore maggots and their take on this. But don't worry, we're going to get there. Of course, another of Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers just couldn't help but unburden himself with a little more truth about the fascist ambitions of his client. Jesse Banal is an attorney who, a pettifogger who does appellate work for Orange Genius. So naturally, he was hauled up on Real America's Voice, a maggot platform. And he said that if Nitwit Nero gets power, a lot of people are going to be prosecuted.
Before I let you go, is there anything that can be done to hold these Colorado justices accountable? Because it just seems to most reasonable people that this is such a huge judicial overreach.
It is. And we don't just see it with these judges. We see it with other judges right now that are using their position on their courts to pursue a political agenda. We see it with prosecutors across this country that are using their prosecutorial powers to pursue a political agenda in order to attempt to destroy American democracy. And what needs to happen is there are already federal statutes on the book about violation of civil rights under color of law. Every single one of these people, when we actually have a real Department of Justice, should be held to account for their decision to throw our justice system into the fire, effectively, and leave the rule of law that has made our country so special over the years, and instead decide to make decisions based on politics and not the law.
Real Department of Justice is doing an awful lot of work there. A very great deal of work. By real Department of Justice, this particular pettifogger, Jesse Van Aal, means a Department of Justice run as the vindictive arm of Tangerine Tiberius. But it's worth remembering again, every single person involved with any of these matters is a Republican. Plain and simple. There's not a Democrat to be found among any of the witnesses. And so it is that former Judge Michael Luttig, who was actually a supporter of Donald Trump at one point, bona fide rock-ribbed conservative Republican, and he, Judge Luttig, was not bashful in his take on people saying that what the Colorado Supreme Court did was undemocratic.
It's capable of acting with a remarkable speed. I mean, Bush versus Gore was 36
That's
days
Neil Codd,
to finish.
Y'all.
I suspect this can be on a very similar timeline. The court actually has a long recess right now. It's kind of their winter break of about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, where they're not even hearing oral argument. And so there's a lot of time in the calendar for them to get ready to hear this case, and then ultimately to decide it.
Judge Luttig, I wonder what we should make of the fact that this ruling very deliberately cites Neil Gorsuch. Gorsuch, of course, once sat on the Colorado State Supreme Court himself. Does that make it harder for him to vote to overturn this ruling?
No.
Alicia, first let me add to Neil's discussion this point. There's already in the relatively few hours since the decision was issued, a hue and cry by the partisan political people in our nation that the decision is anti-democratic. It is not anti-democratic. The Constitution itself tells us that the disqualification or the possible disqualification of the former president is not what's anti-democratic. Rather, the Constitution tells us it is the conduct that can give rise to disqualification under the 14th Amendment that is anti-democratic. So, in other words, the framers of the 14th Amendment and Section 3 in particular, on behalf of the American people, wrote into the American people's Constitution that disqualification should follow upon an insurrection or rebellion by one who has previously taken the oath to support the Constitution. As to your question about Justice Gorsuch, I will not comment on the position that it places Justice Gorsuch in. That would be inappropriate. I will just say to you and your viewers that the fact that Justice Gorsuch, when he was a judge, circuit judge, decided the case that he did, that's referenced in the Colorado Supreme Court opinion, is relatively inconsequential to the decision of this final decision of this case.
Neil, Donald Trump now faces the question of whether he is eligible to be on the ballot. As you were saying, it feels contextually worth remembering. He rose to political prominence by pushing birtherism, by floating this idea that President Obama was not eligible to be on the ballot. This feels ironic, karmic. I mean, it certainly is a full circle moment that we are now talking about Donald Trump's eligibility.
Absolutely right. I mean, Taylor Swift would have a field day. But I think the fundamental point, and this is why it's such a privilege to be on this show with Judge Luttig, is that the text of the Constitution and the original meaning of the Constitution compel this result. This is not about trying to get back at Donald Trump for birtherism. It's not because people are afraid of him in the polls. I suspect he will be beaten if he were on the ballot. It's about just the simple, basic, rudimentary requirements to be president. You got to be 35, got to be a natural born citizen, and you can't be an insurrectionist. And, you know, that's what I think should be presented to the Supreme Court, which is what the Colorado Supreme Court has teed up already. And I think if it's presented that way, the United States Supreme Court will affirm this decision as monumental and consequential as Judge Luttig says it would be.
Judge Luttig, you've referred to some of the pushback that we've heard in the past 24 hours. There's also the question of whether the fact that Donald Trump has not been convicted of insurrection matters. The ruling states, quote, "It cannot be read to mean that only those charged and convicted of violating the law are constitutionally disqualified from holding future office." Your sense, is this going to be the thing that the Supreme Court hones in on?
No, I don't believe so, Alicia. This is not politics. It is certainly not partisan politics. And the Supreme Court's decision yesterday was not a political decision in any sense of that word. It was a pure and remarkably masterful decision of constitutional law. The arguments by the former president's lawyers that were made and addressed by the Colorado Supreme Court, and these were technical and entirely legitimate constitutional arguments for the former president to make, were that the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is not self-executing and indeed requires either action by the Congress of the United States or a conviction for insurrection or rebellion under Title 18, Section 2383. I believe that is a mistaken understanding of Section 4, of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and the Colorado Supreme Court addressed itself to that self-executing feature of the 14th Amendment, and it determined, as I had determined, not that that's of any great consequence, that it is self-executing and it does not require either congressional action or a criminal conviction under Section 2383.
Judge Luttig, you know, you've spoken about the constitutional crisis that this country finds itself in. The stakes, as you set them, are extraordinarily high. If the Supreme Court chooses to take up this case, I do wonder if you have some concern that no matter how they rule, there will be a segment of the U.S. populace for whom it undermines their faith in the institution itself.
That's undoubtedly going to be the case, Alicia, but that's neither here nor there as far as the Constitution of the United States is concerned. And frankly, as far as the Supreme Court is concerned, the Supreme Court will be obliged to decide this decision this case sooner or later. It need not decide this case through the vehicle of the Colorado Supreme Court's decision yesterday. But when it decides that case, then it's the responsibility of the American people, all of us, each and every one of us, to accept that decision as the binding constitutional decision of this momentous issue. I have always, my entire life, held the institution of the Supreme Court in great reverence. I hold this court today in the same reverence. And if the court were to decide this case differently than I believe it should be decided, I will hold the same reverence for the Supreme Court on that day that I hold the court in reference with today.
Neil, I want to pull up this map. There are 14th Amendment cases pending across the country, if you want to take a look at that there. How will those other cases be affected if the Supreme Court upholds this ruling?
Well, Donald Trump's strategy is always to delay every court case and court everything possible. So I think what he would try and do, go to the United States Supreme Court, and then if they agree to hear the case, then saying to all these other states, hey, you got to pause these state court challenges while the United States Supreme Court decides this. I don't think that's actually right. I think all of these should go forward. I think as nothing else is a matter of history and for the record, we should have as many states on the record as possible with their views on this really momentous question. And this goes to, Alicia, something you asked Judge Luttig a moment ago, which is Donald Trump's defense to this is, well, I haven't been convicted of a crime. And therefore, I haven't been convicted of insurrection in a criminal case. Therefore, I can't be disqualified from the ballot. It's notable that at the very same time as he's saying that, he's trying to delay the criminal cases that would adjudicate that very question in Georgia and Washington, D.C. And, you know, Justice Frankfurter once said, you can't play ducks and drakes with the federal judiciary.
Pretty exhaustive. And granted, Judge Luttig gave him, you know, he gave himself some wiggle room by saying, he's a former federal judge, but it would be inappropriate for me to comment on Neil Gorsuch. But the point being made, and Neil Katyal later on made it, this puts the originalists in a bit of a pickle. And so, but the most important part is that Judge Luttig completely defanged the claim of, it's undemocratic! Because there's already some real ugliness out there. So we, and by the way, we've reached the second hour of the program. Thank you, Frank. Thank you very kindly. We're taking bites out of the fundraising deficit. We are now working on Thursday, and we got $210 to go on Thursday, last Thursday, before tomorrow arrives. Thank you, Frank. Thank you so very much. I was kind of lost on me too, the reference to Taylor Swift would have a field day. I didn't get that reference. Flavio says, please elaborate. I don't know what it meant, except to say that when she wants to, Tay Tay can be rather brutal on gross men behaving grossly. Some of this is just fun. God knows we need some of that. Enter Rick Wilson. For what it's worth.
You know, Donald, one of the most fun things about your brain is that it's so explicable. We understand exactly how it works. At the Lincoln Project, we're a team of anthropologists who study like the broken, weird, worm-eaten thing that is in your skull, and we understand how you're going to react to every story.
Hey, Rick, if you want to go ahead, get a little credit's nice here and there, but you might want to reference the spirochetes shrieking inside the thin gray settlings between his ears that pass for brains. We've been doing that for a while now. And, you know, I still don't necessarily think that spirochetes are completely out of the question as to the reason his brain is the way it is.
So tonight, Donald, I just wanted to stick a little extra knife in on the topic of Colorado, because they called you out for what you are. You're a filthy insurrectionist. You're a losing loser who loses. You are a guy who was disqualified from a state primary ballot. Now, look, are you going to have your pet Supreme Court overturn it? Probably. I mean, I'm sure Clarence Thomas has sent you his Venmo link already. But the amazing part of this is it's not the last time. The other amazing part of it, Donald, and you should have your people look into this, Nikki's people and DeSantis's people are burning up the phones tonight. It is quite remarkable. They won't say it in public, but man, they will dump on you hard in private. It's ugly, Donald. It's ugly. But the fun part about this is I know how mad you are. I know how pissed off you are. I know you are tearing your wig off. You are losing your mind. You're throwing the ketchup bottles, all that stuff, because people held you to account. A court held you to account. They said he's disqualified from the primary. It would be inappropriate to allow him on the ballot. And it's never going to get old. You're going to have this in other states, and it's going to piss you off in other states. And I'm really looking forward to it. But I just want to read that one line again, because I've read it about 15 times now. Donald Trump is disqualified from holding the office of president under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Donald Trump is disqualified from holding the office of president under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. That's never going to get old, Don. Ever.
No. It's one of those things that sticks in your mind, like from the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. Just has staying power, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Now, Flavio says, love that guy. Oh, he's so good. And just remember, he's still who he says he is. If he could find the right kind of Republican, he would ballyhoo him over Joe Biden all day long and twice on Sunday. But he snarks really good. Tay-Tay, Lou in PA says, simply encourages her fans to vote, which MAGA has chosen to interpret to be an anti-MAGA effort. Yeah. Stephen, New York, on a knife's edge, it strikes me that we are truly on a knife's edge. The thing is, it's not clear which edge I want to fall onto. Yeah, the tang or the blade? I know, I lolled at that too, Rouse. Rick, Donnie tearing his wig off. Remember, that was one of the, we've talked about the Ivana's assertion that he kept a copy of Hitler's speeches by his on his night table. Remember also that he's such a big man that he tore hair out of her head because he was experiencing pain from his own hair transplant. And he was mad at Ivana for recommending the doctor who had done her hair work. Yeah. I mentioned that the maggots were being a little bit less than being a little bit less than subtle about their responses. Here's what I was talking about. Over at AR15.com, you can kind of guess what kind of a site that is. We have the following message board exchanges. Rope, buy more rope. Soap, ballot, jury, and cartridge. Is this number three? Call me an asshole enough times and I'm going to be an asshole. Call a dude an insurrection enough times and he might as well, you know, play Minecraft. The entities financing the evil in our country. Remember, these are maggots talking, so by evil they mean people who support actual democracy or at least maintaining our tenuous attempt at it. The entities financing the evil in our country are non-Christian. It's not just our own multinational companies, but those overseas that bought the followers of evil, our policymakers, that hate God. The patsies we see on the news are just Satan's pawns. The tyrants and their minions that just follow orders are most likely destined for eternal damnation. They hate everyone, including themselves. What to do? Die. Die with your boots on if you're gonna die. I wonder if he has the courage of his convictions. Soapbox struck through. Ballot box struck through. Jury box struck through. Ammo box! And what would it be without a little misogyny? Get out your best dresses, ladies. They're going to want to party. We're going to war. And then a meme. This is all I can think about. And it's a screenshot from Rambo. Don't push it or I'll give you a war you won't believe. And building on the soapbox, ballot box, etc. Some other maggot said, soapbox, ballot box, prison box, well-deserved corpse box. And then, accompanied by a picture of the cat in the hat, shooty, shooty, pew, pew, pew. Let's all learn what guns can do. Liberals in the USA love to nod their heads and say you bought your guns from a store. You can't fight a civil war. Fight the army, you will lose. They have tanks and jets to use. This is not where the story ends. They have homes, family, and friends. Tyrants threaten us with bombs. Just remember, they have moms. We can't live inside your jet. Can we find you? Yes, you bet. You'd send soldiers and Marines up against AR-15s? They're outnumbered 10-1. That is why I need a gun. Don't forget, because it's true. The government is scared of you. The founding fathers would have begun shooting already long before this bullshit decision. God Almighty. Meal Team 6 is ready to go. Okay, a little note from the department, the correction department, not the Department of Corrections. Lou says, actually, I exchanged tweets with Wilson and asked him why he isn't a Democrat. He responded, he has indeed switched his party registration to be a Democrat. That tweet had lots and lots of likes. Dateline White House, Flavio says, we were watching the same program, by the way. Yeah. It's not like I'm going to go and see what they're thinking. I mean, it's not even the correct word choice on Fox or Newsmuck or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. No. Randy Radar with a question. Is someone other than me thinking that these pundits and judges aren't seeing the forest for the trees here? Look, the Supreme Court decided that money is free speech, yet because I don't have that much money, I don't have that much free speech, and yet there's supposed to be equal protection under the law. Go figure. Well, that's a manifestation of the old adage that you can have all the justice that you can afford. We will have to see if that is indeed the case with Nitwit Nero. Oh, goody. Kevin out in Colorado Springs with a message. Please thank Steve for me. Thank you, Kevin, for taking advantage of the offer. The candies are delicious. Don't know if you got any of them, but I'm sending you a virtual sampling of each of them, LOL. Guaranteed not to raise your blood sugar like they have mine. However, totally worth it, Kevin. I'm so glad, Kevin. Kevin's challenge premium arrived today. Yummy. What did you try first, Kevin? And what have you tried it all so far? Yeah, reverence, says Emilio. Huh, Americans and their reverence for their state institutions. You're missing a modifier there, Emilio. Some Americans. And look, there's a lot going on here with all of this ballot business, the immunity business. If you'd like to talk about it, you are more than welcome so to do. The stress line is open, named for the immortal, unforgettable Mr. Stress, Bill Miller. Born on the first baby born in Cleveland, Ohio on January the 1st of, oh, golly, Brother Deacon, if you're out there, how old would Mr. Stress be on New Year's Day 2024? Because wasn't he born in 1940? So that would make him 84. Kevin, a message coming from Steve in New York. Sorry about the bourbon cherries. They sold out almost instantaneously. But anyway, the stress line's open. 844-843-4676. 844, the horn. You can also get in with a regular old phone number, 304-574-8178. And, of course, Skype is available. Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, all one word, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. They all work equally well, and they will get you into the same mix desk. And it's basically first come, first served for anyone who wants to participate. Thanks, Irish Dave. I will take a look at that. Take a look at that article after the program, because it's kind of hard to read the detailed stuff on the fly. Oh, now let's see what else. Well, in the midst of all of this, Tangerine Tiberius is, of course, almost constantly unburdening himself. In the wake of the Colorado Supreme Court ruling, and look, I know we want, in our own way, it to be true. Simply the finding that he is an insurrectionist, and the fact that other courts may find similarly, is a lot. And he is having a conniption. A fundraising message went out, because everything is something you can fundraise on in Trump world. So he said, "The Soros-funded Democrats behind this vicious lawsuit will immediately use the ruling to challenge us in the remaining 49 states." And by the way, it said, "prepared personally by President Donald Trump." "Crooked Joe and the Democrats know they can't beat us at the ballot box, so their new plan is to nullify every single Trump ballot in the nation to keep Biden in the White House. A ruling party..." He doesn't know about the House of Representatives and the Supreme Court, do he? "A ruling party is attempting to amass total control over America by rigging the election against its leading opponent, who happens to be a political outsider." What? Huh? Donald, what? Huh? "A political outsider committed to defending the needs and interests of hardworking Americans, believe me. This is how dictatorships are born, except on day one with me." And then the con. Oh, P.T. Barnum is grinning in the dirt. "If you're doing poorly due to the very corrupt Democrats who would rather try and eliminate my name from the ballot than actually lift a finger to help our country, then please do not donate at this time. I mean it." Otherwise, meaning, "Jesus Christ, I really need your fucking money, you fucking rubes. We're going broke here. I'm about to owe $1 billion to the state of New York. I know I said I was a billionaire. I'm definitely a billionaire, but it's tied up in assets that the state of New York may take away from me. Or that Negro lady that woman in Georgia may take away from me. But I love you, only I love you. No one else would ever love you the way I do. Love and kisses, Donald." Okay, I added that last part. This is just bringing out so much dumbassery from so, so many maggots. Shooty, shooty, pew, pew, pew. You kind of have to take some of this seriously. At least learn to be situationally aware. A lot of us have had to, for a variety of reasons. anyone who lives where maggots can walk with in public with concealed weapons or can walk with an open and notorious AR-15 needs to be aware. Let's run over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Flavio. Long time.
Yeah. Long time. I was sicker than a dog for like three weeks.
Ugh. You better now?
Yeah, I had upper respiratory infection or whatever, and it was just like, it was gross. I think I was coughing up everything and the kitchen sink, which is good. I mean, it really cleared my lungs out, but I had laryngitis. It was the weirdest thing because it was like, yeah, and you can tell I still have some.
Yeah, you still sound a little bit froggy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had laryngitis, and I never, you know, my sister's a vocal performance major, opera singer, and her name is Fabiola, my eldest sister. Oh. And she sings Italian opera and Samuel Barber and and she was telling me, do not try to speak because you can ruin your voice.
No, if you have laryngitis,
you should just like not talk at all. And for me not to talk is like, are you kidding me?
See, I know. But really she's giving you good advice.
Yeah, no, she was. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it was really, I don't know. I've gotten like 5 COVID shots, except the very latest one. I have not gotten that because, you know, it's not free and I need to, you know, I guess it's covered by Medicare and I got to figure that out. But I don't know if I got COVID or not. All the tests that I have are expired. I mean, really expired. You know?
Yeah, that's not helpful. Like,
what I mean by really expired is because they're supposed to be kept at a certain room temperature. And last summer, the air conditioning broke down in my apartment. And my apartment was like 120 degrees for like 3 days. I'm pretty sure even the wine in my frigid is only good for vinegar now. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
It's probably only good for salads now. I don't know. In a vinaigrette or something.
Oh, that,
I don't know.
Okay, you've mentioned food, so I did some roasted marrow bones for Annette the other night, and I went looking for thank you, I got a yum for that, yay. But I went looking for a recipe, and I found Anthony Bourdain's favorite way to have marrow bones.
Ooh yeah.
And it involved a small salad of minced parsley, shallots, and capers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was simply delicious. So then I thought it was delicious all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next time I was over at K. Roger, I picked up a couple more bunches of parsley, found a couple mm-hmm. of reasonably ripe avocados, more shallots, mm-hmm. more capers, a lemon and came back home and made it and added, you know, and the avocado was, you know, my idea. A little coarse salt and a little red wine vinegar. Mm-hmm. And oh my heavenly days, Flavio. It was delicious.
And stuff,
eh? Oh, it was fantastic. Delicious all by itself. But then I got to thinking, you know, because parsley has such a wonderful fresh flavor to it. It's a real palate cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the Piggly Wiggly the other day, the Wiggling Pig, and I saw a brand of hot dogs I'd never seen before. You know, we West Virginians go crazy for our hot dogs. These were uncured, nitrite and nitrate-free, all meat, no fillers. And they were bacon and cheddar hot dogs by a company called Dietz and Watson. Never heard of them before, but they looked terribly good. And so, lo and behold, and I love to get the split-top brioche hot dog buns, and I grill them on all four sides on my little iron skillet griddle. Put some sweet hot mustard in the very bottom. And on one, I used this wonderfully fiery kimchi. And on the other, I used that parsley salad. It was a freaking fantastic hot dog. You had the little explosive burst of the capers. You had the refreshing qualities of the parsley, the avocado, the salt, the tang of the vinegar and the lemon juice. And then the mustard at the bottom with these bacon and cheddar dogs.
I don't know, man. It was
righteous.
I'm kind of a purist, though. I mean, you know, Chicago hot dogs are Chicago hot dogs, man.
Yeah, but Chicago, I mean, there's nothing pure about it. You want to be a purist, you do a New York dog with kraut and mustard. I mean, there's a lot going on in a Chicago dog. And I love them. But
I'm from this region, so I'm kind of a purist that way. Well, I lived in Madison. I would get away from Madison. I would go to Chicago or Milwaukee.
Can you get a Chicago dog in Madison?
No.
What's a dog in Madison?
It's just not the same.
Well, I mean, what do they put on a dog?
Let me just put it that way. It's taste. It's the taste. It's the, I don't know how they cure the beef. The all beef, you know, it's something. I'm kind of particular about that.
Well, I'm a creative. Up until recently, in the last few years, I didn't know that creative was a noun, but it is. I'm a creative. So the kimchi dog was just heavenly because it was like, it was like kraut raised to the 16th power. But
kraut to me.
Kraut is not kraut. I mean, you live in Wisconsin. They make kraut with caraway seeds, kraut with garlic, kraut with dill, kraut with beer.
Yeah, but I know what kraut is, and it's just like. But you know, I was going to ask you. So I'm going to send you that documentary. Did you get to read the?
I did.
Guardian article on Israelism. Isn't it amazing what those kids get subjected to in the U.S. by AIPAC?
This is probably the wrong word, but it struck me as creepy.
Say that again?
I said this is probably a wrong usage, but it struck me as creepy.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing because the sound on the phone is a little slow. I have no way to raise the volume on the phone.
You don't have your internet thing still playing. You don't have the show still playing on the internet, do you?
No.
Okay. That can often throw things
out. I'm just talking to you on the phone.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think on the other line, 8178, I think I had a better sound on that one, but I don't know.
You're still dealing with congestion and stuff. It may be relative to your ears.
But anyway, that documentary, it's a documentary. It's called Israelism. And these are Jewish Americans. Actually, Israeli Jewish Americans. They have dual citizenship.
Right.
And their experience being Americans, okay, and then going to Israel and actually going into the West Bank and seeing what, you know, and actually doing military service in Israel. They kind of were appalled by what they saw. And so they made this documentary. And it's called Israelism. And it's really good. It's only an hour and a half. It's not like Oppenheimer. Okay. I'm not going to see Oppenheimer until it comes out on DVD. Last time I went out to see a movie that was like 3 hours long, my girlfriend elbowed me because I was snoring something fierce, and it was Titanic. Are you there?
I haven't gone anywhere.
No, you didn't say anything.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, no. But yeah, that was the last time I saw anything 3 hours long, and I will never subject myself to that again because I was like snoring, and I have adenoids problem, the sinus, so my girlfriend, who happened to be Jewish, at the time, she was like crying and everything in the movie. And I was like, after about an hour and a half of this. And she just elbowed me in my ribs and it hurts. I woke up. I was like, okay.
Yeah, you know, for a Latin, you're not terribly romantic, Flavio.
No, I am. I was bored out of my gourd. I was bored out of my gourd for that movie. I really was. No, my idea of a romantic movie.
Paint me like one of your French girls, Jack.
No, my idea of a romantic movie is like The Horseman on the Roof or something like that. That is a fucking good movie with Juliette Binoche.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. It's based on a novel by Jean Giono. And it, you know, it's about the Italian revolt against the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And that was like, that was serious. That movie, it's based on a novel. The Horseman on the Roof.
Yeah, I can hear the swirling strings and all the romance now.
Le Chevalier sur le Toit. And one of the scenes in the movie, the protagonist, I forget, Angelo, I think his name was. You know, he gets into this village and the plague, no, cholera has hit this village. And everybody's dead, and the smell of death is everywhere, and the crows are picking people's eyeballs out.
Well, there went dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone.
No, that movie is great. You should see it. It's like, it's historical. It's a historical movie, goddammit. I love historical movies. And, you know, it's about how, you know, how Italy, you know, it's part of how the Italians wrested themselves from the grip of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And it's just a beautiful movie. And I love Juliette Binoche. Yeah, Juliette Binoche is awesome.
Well, Emilio pointed out that snoring during Titanic on date night is a relationship ender.
Yeah, it is. I know. And we did. And her mother already had it in for me because she didn't want her daughter dating a Gentile, you know. So that was in the cards. But we parted amicably. That was good. But her mom, Jesus Christ. Oy.
Mom, oy. Yeah, moms can be like that.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you think is going to happen with this thing? I'm interested in seeing how they will contort themselves, you know, to accommodate Trump at the Supreme Court.
Well, remember, you know, Flavio, that they generally hate the 14th Amendment part and parcel. Okay, that's important. And so whatever they can do, because remember, Fappy Thomas wants to go after equal protection, due process, substantive due process
in particular.
They don't like immigrants, so they don't like birthright citizenship. They don't like... They prefer a Congress that is not actually representative of the people of the United States. So I think we should begin any analysis by understanding that they are inimical to the 14th Amendment generally.
Generally, absolutely.
So
absolutely, and that. By the way, that's what makes this continent. I'm talking the Americas. With the exception of maybe one or two countries.
Yeah, this hemisphere.
I think Colombia is one of them.
Yeah.
Birthright citizenship is what distinguishes us from Europe. Okay?
Yeah.
Born
here, citizen
I'm,
here.
I am firmly American in that way. I am an American. I am a new worlder in that way. I eschew everything Europe that has to do with the blood. You know, that makes my stomach turn.
Of course, there's a phrase from Les Marseillaise, sang impur.
Yep.
Impure blood. No wonder fascism. No wonder fascism arose in Europe. They've got a lot of practice at it. By the way, you got to know.
Not a fan.
You got a note from Frank listening to you. Frank said, "Have Flavio register online at test, then the numeral 2." Treat, T-R-E-A-T, so test2treat.com. Brendan says, after registering on the site, he will have access to some immediate COVID-19 testing and treatment modalities.
Oh, no, we're good. I'm covered under Medicare Part B. It's just that for the longest time, I was getting free tests, you know, I mean, not free, free injections and free vaccines, and they're no longer free. So now I got to rely, you know, the fact that I have Medicare. And so I have Medicare. I can go and I can go anywhere. I can go to Walgreens, CVS, whatever. My hospital.
No, but to get tests, this is.
Oh, the tests are still free. You can get the tests. You can still order them. That's one of the good things that Biden did that he's not getting credit for. The tests are still free, and you go to the same site you got the last three ones. So, yeah, I bet you didn't know that. Yeah, they're still free. It's part of the Inflation Reduction Act. It's in there. Amazing. No, that's the other thing that pisses me off. They are not doing a very good job of promoting themselves, are they?
They who?
The Biden administration.
No, I think they're doing exactly what they intend to do.
No, they need to do more because
hold on. What they are doing is not engaging in a tit for tat with a guy who doesn't even have the nomination yet.
Okay.
And okay. Biden's timing is solid. Today he was in Milwaukee. And somebody asked
him. Oh, he was in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and somebody asked him about whether or not Donald Trump was an insurrectionist. And see, Biden isn't saying a hell of a lot of anything. I mean, you are right in that regard. But here's the thing. He's still living rent-free inside Tangerine Tiberius's head. So they asked Biden today, if Donald Trump was an insurrectionist. And he said, it's self-evident. You saw it all. Whether the 14th Amendment applies or not, we'll let the court make that decision. But he certainly supported an insurrection. There's no question about it. None. Zero. Oh, and he seems to be doubling down on it.
Go home. Go home. We love you. We love you. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So
yeah, that was so disgusting. It's like, we love you. We love you. That's fucking giving aid and comfort.
So
no question.
Yeah. And if you're out there and you're online a lot, like, you know, me, the Dark Brandon stuff is just brutal and scathing.
I hope it's penetrating, you know.
You have the
media going on in these polls and everything, and I don't give a shit about the polls.
No, nobody does. And like Todd was talking about the other night, the confidence interval.
By the way, excellent show. Excellent. I loved you guys. I saw it. I like I said, I just been sick, just getting over the shit. But I have been listening. I just haven't been calling. So just so you know, I'm still alive.
Thank you for that.
Hey, that.
I'm glad. Yes. And so.
But you were saying about the dark brand that go on.
No, I mean, I was saying about that. But, you know, Todd, you know, you said you hate the polls. Todd said, screw the polls and be a smart consumer of media and check when they put the graphic up and see what the confidence interval is on the poll. And if it's over 4%, if the margin of error is over 4%, it's probably garbage.
Yeah, this is the thing. I was never good in statistics. I failed algebra twice. In college.
But you don't have to be. You don't have to be good at statistics to understand that if the margin of error is 4 or above, it's probably trash.
It's junk.
And all it is it's filler. because talking about polls is a lot easier than talking about complex issues.
And they do that, and they trot out, Steve Kernacki.
That's what I was exactly about to say. You just bring out Steve Kernacki with his great big TV set, and you put the nickel in, and you walk away, and you wait till it's time for the next break.
Oh, it's just so disgusting. It's like, come on. It's so disheartening. Dismaying.
But hold on, though, because, you know, we can't just dump all the responsibility in the lap of the media. I mean, they've got their responsibility, and they've got their failure to live up to it. Okay? Solid.
Okay.
But there's also the issue of voters themselves. And every time I see some quote from somebody in busted knuckle saying, well, I don't know, I just ain't terrible excited about Joe Biden. Wrong accent, of course. That would be hillbilly. Or
Syphilis Springs. I like Syphilis Springs.
Dribbling dick and gonorrhea belt aren't far away either. But that or, well, you know, I don't know. Oh, Biden just seems like he's so old and stuff, you know, he stutters and shit. Yeah, dipshit, he has stuttered since he learned to speak. He has a stutter. It is a condition that he has worked to overcome since childhood. Fuck nuts.
Yeah, and it's not like...
But we live in a bubble, Flavio.
Yeah, we do.
We live in a silo. We have enough common sense not to turn on Fox except for better yet, just watch the really dumb clips and have a laugh and move on.
I made the mistake of doing that the other day. I don't have television, but I can do it on the internet. And, my God, it's unrelenting the crap that they put out there. And at some point you wonder, okay, our First Amendment is absolute, right?
It's not absolute.
I don't get how they get away with just, you know, they put these, you know, for all I know, these are just normal border scenes, okay? People going to work, because there are people that cross the border to go to work in the United States and then return the next day. And so they'll like train the cameras on a particular border crossing, and they see people crossing and they go, oh, you know, we're being over, and people have no common sense. The president said, you know, the other day, 17 million. They allowed 17 million. Are you fucking out of your mind? And people believe that. 17 million. Oh my God. You know, he said that, right? 17 million.
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding me? People actually believe that. Oh my fucking God.
Right, I said last time, it's like they...
go ahead.
It's like they saw World War Z, and a terrible movie, by the way. They saw World War Z with all the zombies going over the wall, and it's like, that's in Texas.
And they don't know that actually there are people that live in Mexico and work in the United States, and they go back and forth every day. And for all we know, they're just like,
I got a story you're just gonna love. You'll love to hate it.
Yeah, love to hate, probably.
Oh, let me find it here. Because, oh, yeah, we had a little bit of a conversation about Leon Scum last night. Well, he's at it again. Oh, by the way.
Oh,
by
yeah,
the way.
That takedown. I was kind of sore at you because you were fixating on NASA and I was fixating on Starlink and the satellite communication that the Ukrainians are depending on. And you were fixating on NASA and I was thinking, oh, the guy is actually doing U.S. foreign policy.
And the United States
cut out the satellite when the Ukrainians were about to bomb boats on the Black Sea, whatever.
Yeah, and I had talked about that at length prior, but the outsourcing of. I mean, anybody who remembers the Challenger disaster knows that we outsourced engine production to Morton Thiokol.
Yeah, it's like we didn't make it to the moon. We didn't make it to the moon with outsourcing.
But we did.
It was NASA.
But we did. No, NASA. No, we outsourced it. That's what all the rocket and missile factories are about. Remember, Mr. Steve Douglas of My Three Sons. He worked.
Wait, what?
In,
wait, worked in, the moon landing.
Hold on,
was
let me talk, Flavio.
I'm sorry.
He was an engineer, an executive at a missile factory, and that was just an American family sitcom. The government has always outsourced. You know, the government didn't make its own rifle. The federal government didn't make its own rifles during the Civil War, for God's sakes. But the larger issue was that, you know. The United States was paying him for Starlink when he turned Starlink off. So that's problematic too. But I wanted to get at this because of what you were talking about with the 17 million illegal immigrants coming across the Rio Grande.
That is like amazing. I can't believe people believe that.
Of course, well, they believe what they want to believe. It's simply called confirmation bias. But. So there's this author by the name of Ashley St. Clair, and she went on Shitter and posted a shit yesterday, and she was mad.
No.
She was mad at Delta Airlines. This was the shit that she posted. Why the?
Okay.
Hold on, let me get it here. Why the hell is Delta complicit in shipping illegal migrants from border states like Arizona to New York City? Our own mayor, a Democrat, has begged Biden to stop sending the migrants here because we are overwhelmed. Is Delta being directed to transport these migrants, or are they willingly shipping illegal migrants to cities they know are crumbling for a paycheck from taxpayers? And that,
right.
And then Leon Scum jumped in and said, "Good question." And good question. Yeah, because Leon's all about jacking off. You know, just asking questions.
Oh, just asking questions. Yeah.
And she said, "Well, I won't hold my breath on them answering." And then she explained the crux of her complaint. My Delta flight from Phoenix appears to be flying migrants who crossed the border and are being shipped to New York. When I asked a Delta representative if this was the case, her response was, what does it matter? They're humans too. What is happening? And then, of course, for the subreddit, That Happened, I had a dozen other passengers come up and thank me for asking about our Delta flight full of migrants who illegally entered our country. I'm sick and tired of being told wanting a secure border is racist. Migrants are being flown Delta premium cabin, given phones and housing, while Americans struggle to afford groceries and rent. Now, understand. Now, I've just read you all of this. Understand.
Right.
There is nothing about her experience that suggests that these were undocumented migrants. One. Two, under the law, once one has applied for asylum at the border, one is no longer illegal. One is no longer outside the law. And one can move about the country.
You know, if you are compliant with international law, asylum is one of the things that you grant. Most civilized countries do that. And then you have to process people and, you know, and their claims for asylum. And unless you're, you know, a rogue government like Greece or something, you know. And
yeah. So
and then you put them in concentration camps and shit.
But what's important here is there was no evidence that they were anything but brown-skinned people on an airplane speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
This was white...
Yeah, that's always problematic, isn't it?
White lady, Karen, upset at having to fly with people who speak Spanish. And no, there were not a dozen other passengers.
It's only the second most spoken language in this country, but yeah, whatever.
But no, there were not a dozen other passengers who came up and thanked Ashley St. Clair for asking about our Delta flight full of migrants who illegally entered our country. She doesn't know. She's just a fucking xenophobe. She's just another ugly maggot bigot.
Yeah, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, what's the order here? I think in the United States it's like English, Spanish. I think there's Hmong.
Yeah.
Hmong is, yeah, and then there's
there aren't many languages spoken in this country that aren't represented elsewhere in the world. I mean, I remember a story from years ago now of the woman in Nashville, an immigrant, who had her children taken away from her by a court in Tennistan because the court in Tennistan did not have an interpreter who could understand her K'iche' Maya.
Yeah, I think I remember that one. Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, in Mexico, there are still a million or more native speakers of Nahuatl. Because I can't make that TL.
No. Yeah, no.
I can't make the O sound. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, people can't pronounce Tlaib either.
Tlaib. It ain't hard. It's not Tlaib.
It ain't rocket science, I know.
I mean, that goes all the way back to the little language conniption I had over that horrific shithole prison we had in Iraq. You remember the name?
Abu Ghraib?
It was definitely not Abu Ghraib. That's how we say it in West Virginia. Abu Ghraib. That GH sound is it's kind of like a as well. Abu Ghraib?
Yeah.
Because the AI is not a diphthong. You pronounce each vowel I-E. Ghraib.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tlaib, but God forbid.
It's amazing, right?
I mean, I hear people who make $1 million a year reading the news on the TV saying, Rashida Tlaib. Hooty hoot, Sergeant Carter. God.
Yeah, it's just, sorry about the bells. If you hear bells, it's the... Cause I live downtown and I live a stone's throw from the Catholic Cathedral.
Oh, I'm not worrying about the bells. No. I'll leave that to Edgar Allan Poe. by the way, Matt in San Francisco.
I apologize. Oh. I haven't called, but I was really sicker than a dog.
I'm glad you're better. Please work on continuing so to do.
Yeah, I know. But, you know. I'm almost 60, and
Almost.
Men in my family don't live much beyond 70. And I'm thinking, you know.
Well, you break the trend, how about?
I hope so, but I am keenly aware of my mortality, so I'm taking it easy. And but I mean, did you get my email? Not email, my direct DM on Facebook about the temperatures next week. Oh, yeah. We're going to be in the 40s.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
I posted pictures on my Facebook page yesterday. I went out and around because when it snows, the first good snow, if the roads are open, I like to get out and see my beloved New River Gorge in snow. The second oldest river.
But here it's been in the 50s. Well, I know. It's look, ridiculous.
Flavio, let me make the point, honey.
Okay.
Stop over talking the lady, okay? Okay. That's okay. I like to go out and take pictures of my beloved gorge in snow, the second oldest river in the world flowing through her, all the work that the river has done to create that magnificent hole in the ground. It's And so I posted pictures along with a poem about it.
I saw those pictures. They're really very pretty.
I love the almost monochromatic high contrast quality of it. But I had a friend from up in the Northwoods, even further north than you, say, we haven't even had that much snow in the Northwoods yet. So, well, thank God climate change is a cheap Chinese hoax, right?
Yeah, it's frightening me. I'm not supposed to be going outside in my shorts. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, maybe it's still a good idea not to do that. But
okay, no. But it's like 50s. It's like 50s outside.
Now, we got up to 45 today. It is presently 62 in the Fabulous Horn Studios at the Magnificent Kincaid Mansion because it got so warm in here today in the studio that I had to turn the little heat pump off. It's time for it to come back on, but I won't be able to do that for another 55 minutes. But don't worry, you'll yet have your Wisconsin winter, your Wisconsin.
I want my polar vortex. Where is my polar vortex? I have a right to my polar vortex.
And a Chicago hot dog. It's right there in the Constitution, next to the blessing from Jesus Christ.
It's right there, yeah. Polar vortex. It's my God-given right.
Precisely. Flavio, take care of yourself. A little tea with honey and lemon. You don't have to use the old actor's trick of tincture of benzoin. That was taught to me by an old Shakespearean actor who said, you know, it's not necessarily good for you, but when you lose your voice in the middle of a run, you get tincture of benzoin, you put it in boiling water, you put a towel over your head, and you breathe the steam, and you'll get rid of all that goop, and you'll have your voice long enough for the play. And then just shut up for the rest of the time.
I love you.
Love you too, Flavio. You take care now.
Take good care. Bye-bye.
Stay cool. Stay comfortable. Okay. You want to talk about something funny? I've been researching because, yeah, my voice is a problem. I've been researching voice feminization surgery, and I found a surgeon in San Francisco that does really, really fabulous work. The only thing that's scary about it is that it would require me to be absolutely silent, not speak a lick, 2 weeks or more. I would be crazier than an outhouse rat if I had to stay silent for 2 weeks. Are you kidding me? Whew. But it might be worth it. Wouldn't have to work so hard. Never mind. Nobody wants to know about that. But Matt in San Francisco did say back when I suggested that Biden didn't want to go tit for tat with Trump, I wouldn't recommend, I'm ruining it already. Let's go ahead and do the cowbell so that we'll know that it was funny even if I screw up the delivery. I wouldn't recommend engaging in tit for tat with Trump. I mean, have you seen those tits? I'll see myself out, says Matt in San Francisco. Yeah. Well, that goes back to what I used to say. The man in charge of our B-52s has 52 Bs. Girl can hope. As to the migrants on the airplane, Matt said, were they wearing name tags that said migrant, or was it just that there were brown people on her plane? Inquiring minds want to know. I think it's the latter, Matt. What are all these brown people? Let's see. One of the fanboys there on Shitter said, Delta is just like our crooked and evil government, putting illegals before paying customers like the government puts illegals before our own people who are out literally sleeping on sidewalks. This country is turning into a third world country right before our eyes. Infuriating. You can bet Delta is making a fortune from our tax dollars. But again, not a word verifying the fact that these were any people other than people who happened to speak Spanish on an airplane. And Ashley St. Clair, I can only imagine what the kind of tripe she writes. Ashley St. Clair in her righteous white girl dudgeon, declaring that they give them phones. They're all retreads, y'all. They're all just retreads. Don't you remember the dreaded Obama phones? That Obama, where's his birth certificate? That Obama's given free phones to all the blacks. Sooner or later, it's just racism, xenophobia, bigotry. It's who they are. It's all they've got. Aw. Jude, I love that. That's just so precious. Little photo. Jude's number one on Santa's nice list. A lot of other people on the naughty. Of course you're number one on the nice list, Jude. We are into the third hour of the program. A little bit of ciphering real quick. We started out at 1720. Thanks to the meeting of the challenge, thanks to everybody who jumped in on that, we are down to, let's see, it takes a minute. $14.75. So we are finished with last Wednesday. We are started on last Thursday. Another $2.75, and we're done with last Thursday, and we're within striking distance of being finished with funding for last week. Sure would help. It really does. Because the lupine pest has been, I can hear his claws going clack, clack, clack on the porch as he walks back and forth, waiting to be fed. Okay, so this is a funny. Because sometimes we need those. We had the clip of Moms for Liberty being trolled recently. They just keep getting trolled. This was a TikTok comedian named Walter Masterson. And he's been going to school board meetings where the Moms for Liberty were. And he made it like he was actually an anti-woke speaker. Oops.
I'm here today to talk about these woke schools that are failing to educate our children.
Trolling Moms for Liberty.
When I look around this room, I don't see race. I don't even know what race is.
It's a room full of white people.
Like, slavery is bad. I'm like, bad for who? The Irish? I brought with me today a book
white
that
guy
is available
chuckling.
To children of all ages in the school's library. This book is filled with overt sexual acts, violence. It celebrates mass killings, and it's being used to indoctrinate our children. I'm going to read you some passages from this book, and you tell me whether or not this...
Sometimes I wish we were video here, because the cutaways to, like, crazy, creepy old Uncle MAGA, who all of a sudden gets his ballpoint pen out of his pocket and clicks it, and he's ready to go because he wants to hear about the dirty, dirty book with all the dirty things in it, and he's going to write down the name of it, and he's got onions on his belt, as were the fashion in his day.
This book is appropriate for your children. The Lord tried to kill Moses, but Zipporah used a sharpened stone and cut off their son's foreskin and rubbed the bloody ring on Moses' feet, saying, "You are now my bridegroom." This made the Lord leave Moses alone. If a slave owner beats a slave, male or female, with a stick so severely that the slave dies immediately, the slave owner should be punished. However, if the slave survives a day or two, he should get back to work. The slave is the owner's property. The Lord regretted ever creating human beings, and he was sad, so the Lord said, "I will wipe all the human race off the face of the earth. And while I'm at it, I'll kill the livestock and the crawling things too. I'll even kill all the birds in the sky. I wish I'd never created any of them in the first place." Now, do you think a child should be reading this book full of sexual violence and genocide? Books don't belong here at all. Ban this book, and let's focus on science, math, and raising administrators' pay. Thank you.
That was out of Doylestown, Pennsylvania. I'm still waiting for this guy to show up at a school board meeting somewhere. And do the Lot's daughters thing. Or murder, commit a complete genocide except for the virgin girls and give them to the priestly class for a good raping at the number 6 dance on Saturday night. Or, you know, that one passage, because, you know, they get so upset about gayness, the Moms for Liberty do. "And David loved Jonathan as his whole soul." Beer drinking buddies don't talk about each other that way. What? No. Right. Lines are open if you want to get into the conversation. Flavio was on the stress line. He has since gone to have some tea with some honey and lemon. Or you can get in on Skype, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And then there's always 304-574-8178. It all comes in first come, first served. We haven't done a lot of religion stuff for this here prayer meeting Wednesday, but it seems like we probably should at least have one story. And that is that Pope Frank has made a whole bunch of American Catholic bishops' heads go pop because he ruled in his popiness that it was absolutely A-OK for Roman Catholic priests to bless the marriages of gay people. What? And in fact, Stephen New York sent me a picture of the priest at his church doing exactly that for a couple of guys who are living in holy matrimony. Baby steps, y'all. Baby steps. Who knows? Maybe in 700 years or so, women might be able to be ordained into the priesthood of the Roman Catholic Church. Or maybe 700 or so years from now, most of the major dominant religions will just be poof and gone. And that would be a blessing. Okay, back to the stress line. Hey, who've we got?
wave by the ocean.
Wave by the ocean. What's that, a wave?
I'm waving.
Waving.
I tried to call in last night. Did you wrap up the show or something?
No, I went long.
Oh, shit. You had one of those weird data things. Well, shit, stuff wasn't rolling through. I don't think, I don't know.
Well, if you were trying to call on the stress line, there was someone on it.
No, it was me, but then I hung up, but then I guess it stuck. Does that make any sense?
I don't know.
Well, telephonic logistics is not why I called. I called because I'm looking at a sailboat with Christmas lights on it, and I just had to share that with you.
Oh.
I also called because, it's gorgeous. I'm looking at a place called Bernine's Waterfront, and it's an old restaurant, and they have the best fucking french fries in the world. The basket of fries for $10, and halfway through you're going to have a small tear in your eye. I know they do good things. I mean, they've been there forever. It looks like it belongs in Key Largo with me and the call. You know what? I think that's my Christmas watch movie tonight. I'm gonna watch Key Largo.
Ooh.
So I think I'm your only cheese correspondent. I'm in friendly MAGA country, stringing up black people here.
Watch
Marathon is it really is cool. I mean, I've had in a town full of white people, I've had three people sneer at me, and they had suspicious 2024 stickers. So that kind of thing figures itself out. The funny conversation I had today was a black person, because I was, you know what? I'm preaching to the choir here, and I kind of like it. I get pushed back when I say, and I get to beat people up instead of everybody just nodding their head, you know, if I'm in Miami or Fort Lauderdale. But the black person says, if Trump's in and it cuts, and this is bringing it on for prayer meeting Wednesday, I thought Obama was the Antichrist. He's the one that made all jump up and down. I'm like, there it is. And this is a black person. I'm like,
okay, there's our fundamental mistake. Obama was not the Antichrist. Obama, if you recall your teabagger rear windshields, Obama was the Antichrist.
Yeah, but he was totally convinced, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, black man, what are you doing here? Really? But, you know, there's a that America looked at a black man and lost its damn mind, and you know what? That's literally what it is. It doesn't get any more simple than that. The Seven-Day Adventure prophet said it's the racism, and she said that 150. Oh, shit. What year is it? She said that a long time ago, 1888. So, 150 years ago, thereabouts. She goes, we wrote herself during the, she said, Civil War was about racism, which is an outstanding kind of outlandish claim to make back in 1888. And ain't that shit was true. It's the same fucking people fighting the same fucking thing. It's the same people. They're still pissed off the slaves ain't coming back. But, my signal cut out. The coolest stuff in the world. Watching someone sneak into America and helping. Doing the opposite of a Karen. Because that's the way we do it in South Florida. Oh, you're coming in on a boat? Let me help you up. You need a soda, a Pepsi? You need to call so-and-so? Because everybody is coming to look for somebody, you know? Coming to America by yourself is rough. My mom did it. She said she moved to the Bronx because she had one friend there. And when I was a kid, it sounded crazy. But then moving some 5,000 miles across the planet with no friends, that sounds kind of terrifying. What do you think?
No, that sounds kind of terrifying. I was going to tell you, though, that did you realize that if you're looking for a Humphrey Bogart movie about the Keys to watch, that you have two choices?
What's the other one?
Well, like you said, the first one is Key Largo. The other one is to have and, yeah, to have and have not.
Well, it's old movie time, so I'm still in my old movie.
And that one's got Walter Brennan in it.
Yeah, it's my. I haven't watched. It's one 5 years for obvious reasons. I officially de-Christmased. I think it was 2018. So I'm finally actually at the point where my consciousness notices Christmas lights, and I don't get profoundly sad or profoundly angry because Christmas is Carolyn's. She started buying Christmas shit in October. Same with my mom. So with them both gone, I've been. For a while, fuck the red bastard. Fuck him and his minions. And now I'm like, oh, buy my granddaughter a drone. Because I'm that kind of grandpa. I don't care if she's 5 and a half. They'll adapt. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I've been buying my young cousin, nephew, haven't seen in a while. I haven't forgot. Probably a drone, too. Drones are very popular. But I'm healing. Don't fuck with your voice, Robin. There, I said it. Your voice is fine. Very nice.
Not when it puts my...
you can damage it. And,
not when it puts my life at risk. It's not.
Yeah, that's right. You live... Oh, okay. And that's an awesome segue to back to Marathon, how to understand Marathon. Marathon could be in West Virginia. But instead of mining, it's fish and lobster here. It's the same fucking people. It is the most racist of all the keys. But there's also the most economic activity and the most real estate and the most services. And when I say racist, I mean people coins here know like knows like there's a smell because they're from racist parts of the world and they're rich as fuck. But there's no ropes, there's no burnings. I mean, in Marathon they do have the Celtics accessible, so that tells you all you need to know. That's 2 steps from, what was that thing Nick Fuentes just said about racial, white identity? Yeah, it's 2 steps away, isn't it? Yes?
I do believe.
But there's a lot of mixed people here, too, and a lot of mixed couples and a lot of mixed little babies. So it's weird the way it all winds itself out. And there's a raised nose. When people talk about, well, they do that in Key West. And you would hear it's like Southern accent here. But yeah, it's like if West Virginia had no mountains and had oceans on both sides and the most fish in the fucking world, because all the fish in the world or in this part of the world cross the 7 Mile Bridge to make the channel. I'm talking millions of fish if you look down. I asked a joke today. I go, hey, aquariums aren't a big thing here. The girl said, well, if I want to see fish, I just look in the canal and I'll see sharks and stingrays swimming by. I'm like, yeah, I guess, you know, this an aquarium is literally sand at the beach. Why would you harsh up the fish that way when it's just swimming? I can't believe I'm here, Rob. I had this in a dream, you know?
Yeah.
14 months ago, better
than South Beach, worse than South Beach? I know you've been going back and forth in the Keys, in or to the Keys.
I'm trying to find home, and I guess I'm too old for South Beach. I don't know. I can't figure. I can't. I might work at the stadium for the football game this week, so I don't know. I don't know. I love both places. Don't make me choose. It's either like Martha's Vineyard and South Beach is like Manhattan with palm trees. And Key West is Northern Havana. So there's a little flavor in that. You know, I'm just in a cool part of the world trying to soak it all up before the missiles or the riots. Or the climate change.
Climate change is already hell on the Keys.
Yeah, it is. And they keep grumbling about it, and they don't know what they're grumbling about. I'm like, all right, you're almost there. You're there. God damn, you'll hear, that damn, Irma. I'm like, Irma didn't even hit here. Irma just had a couple of tornado bands go through. But that's really all you need, isn't it? From a 200-mile-an-hour storm that Trump mangled. Holy shit, Trump mangled the fuck. I just realized that. Yeah, he was the president then. He totally mangled the recovery. Because I don't know why, but a president always has to stick his foot behind that to get that working. Everybody just kind of runs around and hits themselves in the head. I don't know. Most expensive in the world. I will tell you that. Should have bought a house here 30 years ago. It'd be worth $7 million now. You could have got one for like $30,000 back then.
Well, if it survived the hurricane.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I remember being surprised at the last one that just slammed the keys and created real havoc and chaos. I remember seeing a flyover, and most of them were like single-wide trailers.
Was that the west side of the state I think you're talking about? Because
no, it was Key West. It was Key West. It was just
Key West.
Yeah. Okay, I remember seeing it. This is going to be the first Christmas since 1946 that doesn't have a Jimmy Buffett in it. And I remember seeing that and remembering a lyric that he wrote, wailing. And mobile homes are covering the keys. I hate those bastards so much. They're ugly and square. They don't belong here. They looked a lot better as beer cans. I think the name of the song is Mystery to Me.
I'm looking at a mobile home park, but it has a dock. Things are different here. And I just leave it at that. A concrete dock, too, I might add. And if a storm takes the mobile home, you can't put one back.
Any white folks out in the front yard scratching and fighting?
No, these are rich white folks. They scratching, but you know they're scratching with their credit card because they go inside and do coke. Did I say that loud yet? But little hedonistic here. I ain't mad at you though.
Well, and I'm not trying to be an elitist. People.
Well, yeah, the funny thing, that's what I'm trying to tell you. These people act like good old boys, but they all have commas. You hear me? You're like, isn't that a $100,000 truck? Okay. Without a speck of dirt on it? All right. But you're a good old boy. You're just trying to make it by. But no, I think my those two factors I brought down, the price of diesel and decriminalization and an erasure of criminal records, so you could probably get a government job or you could get housing, I think that'd go far. That's structural. That's something the Republicans would never get their shit together to just pass either. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm out of my depth here, Jerry. Or Wave. Sorry. I do it too.
One's fine. Yeah, to dissolve totally and I do like the name of it, but I'm trying to honor my mother.
I think that's sweet.
Give me a cool last name. And I'm trying to elevate my spirit. Most people have not. I changed my name because I didn't want to have a funny sounding foreign name. So now in a time of let's be mean to foreigners, I'm like, hey, you hear me over here speaking English better than you? I'm a fucking foreigner. Get your shit together. I love this fucking country. Do you? Country? The blood of this country is indigenous. So what the fuck are you talking about? Boy, this one hits hard. I didn't know I had so much velocity inside of me about this. But who the fuck gets to say who's here? Really? And what is the thing? I heard a speech today by Ronald Reagan. I almost cried. I was like, damn, remember when Republican politicians at least didn't speak in garbled words when they spoke in paragraphs. I remember that. Say what you want about Reagan, but the man could speak. He could carry a verse. And he was saying that immigration was the lifeblood of America. That the difference about America was we got the brightest and best from everywhere. And that made us strong. I'm tired of Joe Biden tangentially just pushing back, trying not to piss anybody off.
See, Fabio brought that up, and now you wave. Be patient. He doesn't have to meaningfully fight a primary fight. That means he doesn't have to spend money until the general election. The case is being made. The fact that you don't hear it being made doesn't really mean that it's not being made. It could be, I don't necessarily agree, but it could be that you're not going to hear that message that much because maybe they're not contesting Florida that hard. I mean, if you're a progressive in Alabama and you're not hearing Biden out on the stump wearing out Donald Trump, it's probably because you're in Alabama.
He could win Florida. It sounds crazy.
The 2022 election results suggest otherwise. Monkey Up only became governor
in 2022.
In 2018, Monkey Up only became governor of Florida with the help of real live, no kidding Nazis. The margin between him and Andrew Gillum was that narrow.
I didn't see any Ron DeSantis signs in Alameda. That is significant.
He blew past the entire field, and Florida turned blood red in 2022.
And then the insurance agency collapsed, and we got hit. In between that time, we got hit with two Category 5 hurricanes, too. Not one, two. And the response was terrible. See, that Floridians don't notice much, but they do notice how the bum in the street working on pennies to get a can of Bud Light will notice services rendered after a hurricane. So the confirmed maggots are like grinding their teeth because their guys are a mess. And the price of gas is coming down. That's really, and diesel. I got to mention diesel. The diesel, it kicked me in the head about a week or two ago. The price of diesel, because I think somebody fucked up some kind of formulation thing or something. It's like a dollar higher now. You need to fix that. Bring the price close to parity of gasoline or even cheaper like it used to be. So these morons with 100-gallon tanks will, you know, get that under $300 for a fill-up. Once you start training 300 Phillips over and over and over again, you're like, oh, okay, that's a sticking point. Even though they have the money, they're wiping their ass up money. They notice that, you know, $300 Phillips or $300 Phillips. I mean, this is us foreign people with our EVs and our bikes and our public transportation. I would imagine there's only a couple of big trucks in this crowd, but it's a thing, man. If nothing else, they may not vote for Biden, but they'll stay home, which is what you want. Well, they'll decide to get drunk and mad at night. And this election's over here. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, listen,
you're
obviously warm. Stay safe. Keep you.
Am I wrong?
Florida is Florida is Florida.
Yeah, but Florida influences the rest of the world for some reason. It's a power that I don't even think we should have, but we do. Some morons doing it in Florida. Some morons going to be doing it in Wisconsin in 6 months. Because that's our pool. Look, we're, shit. The only thing that I don't know, I'm just minds are changing. Price of diesel, legalization of weed, and abortion. That a change of tide even in Florida. And you brought up the anti-abortion or the protect women's rights bill. I signed that petition already. I was very excited. I jumped over a hurdle to go sign. I go, hey, let me fill that out. I got a granddaughter. This is bullshit. You know, it's just a bunch of puppies with their heads nodding in the background, and like everybody signed it. But yeah, the point is, it's changing. And Ron DeSantis is, his name is Mutt in Florida now. The Disney thing and the hurricane thing and the insurance thing. And the fact that he's a fucking moron on TV and he's embarrassing.
Well, you mentioned, you mentioned Monkey Up. You might enjoy this. It took him till this morning, but he too was conniptionizing over the Colorado Supreme Court ruling. This is fun.
Here's the larger thing of what the left and the media and the Democrats are doing. They're doing all this stuff to basically solidify support in the primary for him.
He doesn't need support to solidify in the primary, but never mind. Yeah, what? Dean Phillips is going to overtake him? Beg pardon?
Get him into the general, and the whole general election is going to be all this legal stuff. And look, it's unfair. They're abusing power 100%. But the question is that going to work? And I think they have a playbook that unfortunately will work, and it'll give Biden or the Democrat or whoever the ability to skate through this thing. That's their plan. That's what
the Biden or the Democrat or whoever. So, rhetorical question, but what the is that? Kamala Harris is secretly president. Hold on, we're not done with the clip.
They want. What they don't want is to have somebody like me who will make the election not about all those other issues, but will make the election about the failures of Biden. Here's the large.
Because it definitely won't be it won't be about your stupid fucking go-go boots, Monkey Up. Oh, no, it won't be about that. Dear God. And the hissy...
Doesn't Disney put up his ass next year?
Well, the funny thing is, I think his political career may be deader than Pharaoh's cat as soon as he's out of office in 2026. He's not going to get a Senate seat. He's not going to get Marco Rubio's seat. He's not going to get Skeletor Scott's seat. He can't be governor again. And God, he's just going to have to... He's going to have to sit there and just look at Casey while she tells him what a fuck-up he was. And how if she'd been the one who was running, she'd be president by now. Then there's Virginia Double X Fox of North Carolina stand. The political hacks at ABC are more concerned with targeting the daughter of Speaker Johnson and the Christian values that his family holds dear instead of reporting the news. The media has no integrity left. It has bowed low enough before woke mobs to taste dirt. Or than
woke mob.
Yeah. Liberals destroyed California, so thousands moved to Colorado, and now they've destroyed that state too. Liberals destroy everything they touch. This is my particular favorite, though. This is the woman who is running against AOC. Of course, she's a blonde white woman.
Colorado, and how afraid the Democrats are for us to vote, we the people. This isn't up to those third world cunts that made this decision.
Pretty, do you kiss your mama with that mouth?
Okay, this is up to the people. They shouldn't have a say, but they're getting all this out of the playbook of the communists. The communist playbook. Remember that. Once this hits Supreme Court, it's going to be overturned, but if Democrats controlled everything, it would stand. That should fucking scare you. It should scare each and every one of you.
Yeah,
what a joke that this decision is. Afraid to let us vote?
Are you going to vote in Colorado, honey? Because it sounds to me like you're nowhere near Colorado. It sounds like you might be living on Houser Street in Queens.
This is our decision. We the people. This needs to be reversed, needs to be reversed quickly, and it needs to stop. It needs to fucking stop. What are you afraid of? You're so afraid of Donald Trump. Why? Because our country was good under him?
It was good, you know. We was keeping the people out of them shithole countries.
safe. It was flourishing. So like I said, Trump 2024, motherfucker, fuck out of here. And fuck you, third world fucking cunts.
Isn't she charming?
The racism, though. Wow. You know what? I was very conflicted because girls who talk like that make my leg shake a little bit, being from New York originally. But then the racism came out. The way she, like, wheeled third world like a boot. I'm like, oh, I get it. The thing is, and I kind of judge politicians kind of the way I judge starting first-round pick quarterbacks and growth. AOC has become such a wonderful politician. I can't wait till she's 35. I really can't. So I guess seriously,
I was so proud of her. I saw a clip of her. I saw a clip of her the other day defending trans women in sports, and she made so much sense, and she was so cogent, and she said, by the way, y'all, they're not going to stop with the trans women. It's going to be everybody they don't like, which is absolutely true, and you might find this interesting. This is just a little kicker because we're coming on toward the end of the program. By the way, Micah said, in regard to monkey ups, the word salad, we're trying to throw him off the ballot so that it will solidify around him, and what? I don't think I can feign that level of stupid to figure out what the hell he's actually trying to say. He's not intelligent. It's another one
no,
of those.
He's not.
It's another one of those. What's the matter? What's the matter with Harvard things? By the way, when Wee-Wek Ramaswamy said, "Well, if Trump's not on the ballot in Colorado, I won't be either." Monkey Up said, "Me neither. I won't be on the ballot in Colorado neither."
What is Vivek's he is too brown for this ride. Seriously. Come on, eat a cowbell for that. That was funny.
You broke up.
I said, oh, okay, that's what it is. Is this better?
Some, maybe.
What is Vivek's deal? He is too brown for this ride.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he certainly is. Of course... Yeah, that's why. That's why Nikki Haley keeps getting whiter. Who knows?
Oh boy, that is a minefield for skin lightening thing for people of color. That's I kind of fear Nikki Haley and Trump as a ticket because she's almost intelligible. And you're right, Trump is getting less and less intelligible. I mean, he has moments of clarity, but he's like, he's melting down in real time as well.
Sooner or later, they're all gonna be taken down by their lickspittle adherence to Julius Geezer. Oh, and in case you were wondering, and I know you weren't, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, we have talked from time to time about an extremely creepy, gross, yucky practice that was big a few years ago and still, I presume, goes on among the evangelicals. And what I'm talking about is the purity balls. You remember hearing about those?
Where they throw
a big party and it would almost look like a wedding where a girl would pledge her sexual purity to her daddy and they would exchange purity rings. I mean, right? Well, it turns out that ABC News dug around a little bit and found some video shot by German television of Mullah Moses Mike Johnson getting all fixed up to attend his 13-year-old daughter's purity ball. Speaking in German in 2015, the NTV news segment says, "This looks like a wedding, but they are not bride and groom, but rather father and daughter." Speaking about Mullah Mike's daughter, Hannah. ABC said, "The German news segment documented Johnson and his family preparing for and then attending a purity ball, a controversial formal dance event popular among some conservative Christians that gained notoriety in the early 2000s. At a typical event, fathers and their teenage daughters dress in formal ball attire for a night that involves dinner and dancing and culminates with the daughter signing a pledge to her father to abstain from dating and to remain sexually abstinent until marriage." Now,
I just watch a lot.
We raised daughters here. And when you live in America, you have to worry about things like teen pregnancy. So we had frank discussions with our kids, and son too, about let's not be teen parents. We did not, however, obsess over the sex lives of our children. Because sitting around thinking about your daughter, your 13-year-old daughter having sex is, looking for a word here, Wave, disgusting.
Oh, don't say it. I have three daughters.
Disgusting.
I had the opposite of this conversation with my youngest when her mom called me. I have a funny story I got to tell. I can reveal it to the world. Her mom called me and said she's doing some things on some internet with some camera. And I addressed it without making her feel like shit. Something along the line of, "You're X years old now, and shit, when I was your age, I was looking at dirty pictures. I wasn't sending them. I was just looking at them. But I go, you don't have any control of those, and it could come back and bite you when you're 30. And that ended that. But consequently, my kids tell me about their sex lives. I don't want to hear it. I always, you know, act squidgy and want to die, but they do it to make me uncomfortable. But low-key, I've established communication about those sort of things without being weird. You see what I'm saying there, Robert?
Yeah. I do. And the German, the German TV piece, it went on. Wow. And it describes the purity ball of Elise Fort 3 days before her 15th birthday. I mean, this is how gross these people, this is how weird, this is how creepy these people are. These are the same people who think, and Lot was a righteous man, you know, after his daughters got him drunk and fucked him. 3 days before her 15th birthday, Elise Fort is at a formal ball. She's radiant in a spaghetti-strapped white tulle gown. Tulle. Brilliance scattered in her updo catch the soft light of Colorado Springs' five-star Broadmoor Hotel. In between dinner and dancing, Elise sits demurely across from the tuxedoed man who brought her here, her father, Jerry Fort. Elise's mother, Denise Fort. Hold on. Elise's mother, Denise Fort, accompanied them and kneels by Elise's side. She's kneeling to put a ring on her daughter's finger. She hands her daughter a box. Elise opens it to discover a piece of jewelry she knows well, her mother's confirmation ring. To explain why she's chosen to pass the heirloom along, Miss Fort reads her daughter Elise a letter. "Dear Elise, this is the day of the purity ball. We're so excited. This ring is made of gold, a precious metal, and shaped into a heart. And it signifies how precious your heart is to God, to us, and to your future husband, who God is preparing you for." Not preparing for you, honey. Preparing you for the diamond chip is a sign of purity, a reminder that you are committing to purity in heart, soul, mind, and body until marriage. You will be able to give your husband the gift of purity, rare and precious. Mr. Fort slips the band onto his daughter's ring finger. With a tender smile, he hands her another box. In it, Elise finds a man's ring. Her creamy brow furrows in confusion. Mr. Fort explains that just as Elise now wears a ring representing her promise to be pure until marriage, he will wear one too, as a sign of his dedication to the same goal. It is in the form of a shield, Mr. Fort reads, symbolizing my commitment to protect you and shield you from the enemy. Enemy? Inside the shield is a heart, which is your heart, which I am covering. Across the heart are a key and a sword. The key is the key to your heart, which I will safeguard until your wedding day, and the sword is the protection I pledge to you. On your wedding day, I will give this ring to your husband. I love you, my jewel, my princess. Daddy.
This is Vicky.
Yeah, yes. I mean,
I have other words for it.
If non-religious people did this to their daughters, they would be reported to Child Protective Services because it's half.
What about the
it's
guy?
Halfway to
what about
incest.
The guy? Hold on. This is relative, relevant. What about the guy that found in Oklahoma today with 9 kids and he was fucking 3 of them? It's the same, just a different state. I'm sure he didn't go through the whole official purity process. He said, that's my wife and that's my lover. It's the same fucking thing. And when I was okay and wound up, when I was that age, I was told, because my pee-pee got hard, I was going to hell. I think I got feelings about this, brother. They're not good ones. I was saying like that. We called it a banquet because we weren't allowed to dance because we're the Seventh-day version of fucking Southern Baptist, which is a, you know, that's a funny fucking realization and admission. Here, the Seventh-day version of Southern Baptist. Is Mike, is he a Southern Baptist or is he a Catholic?
He's a Southern Baptist.
This shit right here, this shit is only 50 years old, too. This goes hand in gland, as Neil would say, with the anti-abortion stance. And how come somebody's not pounding these fuckheads on the fact that, okay, you're getting rid of abortion and Medicare for kids? What the holy fuck, man?
I know.
You're breaking a commandment that Jesus said, that if you will prevent these kids from coming to me, throw yourself in the ocean and wrap your head tight with concrete. That was very graphic for a Prince of Peace. I mean, you felt a certain way about certain things. So you can't, I mean, is it too late for a leftist Christian pack to take out commercials and hit these people in the chest? I mean, I'm tired of these right wingers having religious bandwidth.
The leftist Christians are poor as Job's turkey and brokered in the Ten Commandments, okay? They're doing Christian poverty the right way.
I are one, so I know exactly what that's about. Leftist Christians buy alcoholic fucking alcohol because you can see the shake starting. I'll save the finger wagging for another day. I'm not supposed to reveal my good works, but I have to say that because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus didn't drink, but you know what? He made hell of wine.
Who says?
Because his friends were drinking. Huh?
No. There's nothing that says he didn't drink.
He made wine, though. They
right. His first miracle was the miracle of the wedding at Cana, where he turned water
into
wine.
Into a rave.
And it became a first century CE rave, right?
Yeah, he did, because that's radical Christianity right there, radical left wing Christianity. Oh, nobody brought you food. All right, I got you. some of those are figs and some bread. But moving along and putting a bow on this, George Rodriguez, Neil Rogers' original and only producer, his last producer, said that Pope Frankie, as he called him, because he was just being ordained then, looks just like Neil Rogers at that age. And I've often think, did Neil just become Pope? Because he was the Pope of radio.
Well,
and him blessing...
Look, speaking of milestones, yeah. Though, this week, Keith Richards of the Stones is celebrating both his 40th wedding anniversary and his 80th birthday.
Wow, that's amazing. Keith. One wife.
Yeah.
One wife. How many chance encounters has Mick had? Like, how many kids has Mick had? Like 10?
I have no idea.
He has like 10 kids and 3 baby mamas. Oh, that's the story I wanted to get to. It's the fill out of a joke. And I'll tell the back end first. My ex-baby mama was the only person who was an Arab. She was Arab. She's still Arab, but she was there Arab then too. She busted herself cheating on me because she was the only one on the planet who didn't know planes had hit some buildings in New York. She was quite sad on that day. I thought about this also, September 11th this year. And I am where I was September 11th, 2001. And now this is significant because I made a joke. I finally, when you can make a joke about a tragedy, you've conquered it. The guy she was cheating with was at the racetrack today. And I looked him in the eye and I said, you called your son? He goes, I go, yeah. We crossed paths. I go, getting big, you know, he's smart as hell. He's an investor. He's really on a, they're estranged. But she cheated on him. She had a kid. And they lived happily ever after. And you know what? We dapped up, shook his hand, and he went on about his business. And that's a peace story. That story doesn't happen anywhere else. Anywhere else in Florida, there's violence and gunshots. But at this point in our lives, we were just two old men. And once you've lost a lot of people, just recognizing someone and not being in a negative state when they're around is a blessing. I almost saw him as a friend. I made a joke. I said, you lost some weight, because when I met him 20 years ago, he was a bodybuilder. He was huge. He'd just gotten out of prison for killing someone. Today he was just turning. And he left, and his friend goes, well, how do you know him? I go, well, I met him on baby daddy replacement day. Of course, I didn't know I was the one being replaced, so we both laughed. And in a fucked up, dysfunctional way, we made it work. Mostly by staying out of each other's way. But yeah, Keith Richards and the Stones. I love the Stones, by the way. That sparked that in my head. I like Keith Richards, too. I like the fact that the Rolling Stones are still listening at 80. And they were just at the Hard Rock, and the German guy there bringing that full circle wouldn't tell me how much a Rolling Stones ticket at the Hard Rock cost. I'm sure it had 4 numbers in it. Good for them. I'm mad, and I'm going to close out with this. One of my favorite new groups or newer groups is Linkin Park. The lead singer was bipolar. And he sang about his pain in all his music. And music was a wonderful mix of hip-hop, heavy metal, punk, and electronica. You know Linkin Park, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You familiar?
Yeah.
And he killed himself. You know that, right?
I don't know if I was aware of that.
Okay. Yeah, Chester killed himself, the amazing lead singer. And you could hear it in his live performance. He was on the dark ride. And he sung about what he was going to do when he did it. And he's one of the people I'm mad at. Because Chester from Linkin Park should also be making 3-4 figures a ticket now. Post-COVID, people starve for just entertainment, live entertainment, because we didn't have it for a while, you know?
Right.
And that's one of the things I missed about modern civilization, live events. You don't know how much you miss it until it's gone. So he should be touring. They should be, he should be touring with whoever left of those bands and making their money, but he's not because he didn't take care of his mental health. And mental health doesn't give a fuck about your bank account. In fact, it's not counterintuitive. The more money you have, the more likely you're going to kill yourself. Because nobody will tell you no or stop. Because you're the money train. And that's apropos of nothing. That's not even linear. But take care of yourselves out there, wherever you're at. Whether it's respiratory, mental, physical, or whatever. We all got a flight to fight and a road to walk, and we're all in this together. Or this all becomes like Brazil, not the country, the movie. I noticed that. There's a picture I wanted to send you. There's a restaurant in South Beach that does food really well, but the food was square. And I was like, oh, my God, they make square food. Here's a picture of square food. Where have I seen this before? Remember that scene in Brazil that seemed so bizarre? And then every time you go to a drive-through window, you're like, oh, yeah, this is just like Brazil.
Yeah.
Even with the voice that you
God, I haven't watched that movie in forever.
The movie's terrifying. It in 1980, whatever the fuck, it was funny.
Yeah, and well, it's
gleeful.
Yeah, it's terrifying because you can look at it and say, that's beginning to look a little familiar.
It all came true. The plastic surgery, the bombs, the propaganda, the bureaucracy, that everybody watching movies on the little screen. Oh my God.
Yeah, I said that maybe sometime last week. You know, I watch TV on a screen smaller than my parents' first TV.
Just like Brazil. Do you remember that everybody's watching TV pretending to work? Or a single bureaucratic mistake, people get killed and nobody could fix it? Or sitting on a... Do you remember the IVR, the Interactive Voice Response Unit? Which seemed like an answer machine, but no, hang up. This is a real person. Remember that? Where he was trying to get something, his HVAC fixed, but he had to fill out a form and he was on the phone for 3 fucking days.
Yep.
Brazil is a nightmare, man.
It is.
Brazil is a
Wave, I got to get out of here, brother.
I always close out the show with hugs and kisses, horn. I wish you as warm as me. Feel the love coming from the sea. By the ocean. Bye-bye.
Later. Our buddy Wave. By the ocean. So that's the program. Let's see. Where did we end? We ended at 1475. So tomorrow we will be at 1775. We caught up with last Wednesday. And tomorrow we will be trying to finish last Thursday. Thank you, everyone. Thank you kindly for the challenge. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors who respond to things like the challenges or sometimes just say, hey, here, keep it going. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Roger in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please, 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 like and subscribe with the podcast episodes. Please take a sec and just leave a comment to let the algorithms and folks know that you're involved in the conversation. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Launch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice. And a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster, get your RSV vaccine if they're available, get your flu shot. We haven't even reached peak sick cold weather season yet. The new variant of COVID-19 is apparently raising a ruckus. That means wear your mask when you're in groups of five or more, especially if there are maggots involved. You know how they are. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. Carry some with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can in these indoor months. And of course, if some blonde Karen who sounds like Archie Bunker in a skirt comes towards you babbling about these shithole countries, well, avoid AOC's putative challenger like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Later.